Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
We need to stand united, for undivided we shall never fall. Remember all, we need to trust in and then forever call on our brothers and our sisters. And are you and I aware? You and I both know that we can rely on it. The time is prime, planets aligned, ain't no mistaking. For union resurrection, the anger has awakened. The sleeping giant, come on, yeah, we can do it. We need to revive, re-amp, and re-up the labor movement.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So, things here in Pennsylvania heating up in the lieutenant governor's race. Last I saw, there were like four, and then there were five, and now it's, you know, six or seven. Before you know it, the entire state's going to throw their hat into the ring. Because, look, the reports coming out of Harrisburg, Mike Stack, who we've had on this program a number of times over the years, has really been a horrible person to his staff. And you go, who would have thought that? And, you know, the thing that gets me is how the Democrats have lined up behind him without, you know, even going through the primary process, which is why I think it's important to spotlight and to highlight other candidates who have thrown their name into the ring. And one of the folks that I wanted to talk to today, Arianna Berenger, she is, I guess, the first person to have thrown her hat into the ring. And I guess the, you know, why comes up, but we'll ask her. Arianna, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So, you know, right off the bat, why? Why would you do this to yourself? Why put yourself through this?
Well, you know, I look at it from this perspective. I grew up in a family that lived well below the poverty line. You're talking, my mom was a waitress. My dad was a maintenance worker. If it weren't for programs like food stamps and free lunch, there would have been a lot of days I didn't have a meal.
Yep.
So I recognize that my experiences are unique. I joined the Army 2 months after 9/11. I was an 18-year-old kid when I did it. I knew exactly what I was getting myself into, knew I'd be heading into war. Got out, got a job, joined my union. I joined my union at 22, my union protected me along the way. And, you know, as I look at the typical types of politicians who run, I went, they're not representing me. They're not representing my values or where I've come from. And I think it's about time we had somebody like me have a seat at the table.
Yeah, there are very few politicians who have missed a meal or their kids have gone to the cupboard and found nothing. And look, you and I share a similar background. I grew up in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland. And look, my mother was on and off welfare because the 70s were not a good time for single mothers.
Yeah.
And like you, a lot of the policy positions and a lot of the ideas that I have of how we run this country are from that poverty beginnings, and also the ascension into, look, I grew up in the projects, and I now live in a neighborhood with doctors and lawyers. Because,
yeah,
one, I worked really hard, but because, two, my union made sure that I made a decent wage for the labor that I did.
Exactly. I mean, look, when I was 22 and I joined my union, I got pregnant with my first child. And I was worried about the conditions in which I was working, and I went to my supervisor and said, hey, you know, can I be moved just for the duration of my pregnancy? I'm worried about my baby. He told me no. I brought in a doctor's note. He told me no again. He told me no three times. I went to my shop steward, my union steward, and by lunchtime I was moved because my union looked out for me. And I think we don't elect people that come from that background who have had those experiences. And as Democrats, it's a detriment to our party.
No, I agree. And this is why we need Democrats who have that willingness to stand up and not just fight for themselves, but for others as well. So, you know, let's say you get elected. What's the passion? Where's your mission? What's the first thing someone says, what's your mission? What do you tell them?
Social justice, economic opportunity, equality for women. I mean, I was the first lieutenant governor candidate out here talking about a $15 minimum wage. I was the first one out here talking about legalization of marijuana. And I think it's interesting that as Democratic candidates for office, you know, we have to come to the table with good, you know, being good on the issue.
Right.
But it's something you also have to have good policy ideas to back it up, right? And like legalization, if the Republicans in Washington aren't going to fund CHIPS, we can legalize marijuana here in Pennsylvania. I mean, we founded CHIP to begin with, right? I mean, two progressive Democrats founded CHIP in Pennsylvania by taxing tobacco. We can do the exact same thing with legalization of marijuana, tax it, and then fund CHIP. And we could lead the nation in a new way of funding the CHIP program.
Isn't it absolutely disgraceful that here we are well over 100 days late, and the Republicans in Congress still have yet to reauthorize something as fundamental and simple and what used to be completely nonpartisan as getting right. children health insurance. Isn't this just absolutely disgraceful?
It is. And, you know, people like you and I grew up without health insurance because the CHIP program didn't exist. And now that we have it, it's got to be one of those things that we continue to champion. We've got it. I mean, we have to be the leaders on this. And Republicans definitely aren't the ones doing it.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of this, it really is just bizarre times. But here's the thing. I mean, what do you say to the person who says, well, you know, Lieutenant Governor, you're just, you know, you're like the Vice President of Pennsylvania. What can you do? What can you do?
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's one of those offices in which we haven't seen a lot of effort come out of it before. We typically get two types of people that run for lieutenant governor. Someone that's just looking for their another stepping stone to office. They want to run for another higher office. So they're like, oh, yeah, I can run for lieutenant governor and get my name out there. Or we get the other kind of person that's typically at the end of their career. And so they're like, yeah, I'm lieutenant governor. I really don't have to do a whole lot. And I think that within this position, it affords you the opportunity to hustle, to get out there, to be the boots on the ground and talking to the communities where, you know, real work is being done, and then bring that back to the governor and say, hey, look, not only can I be your champion because of the experiences I've had in life, but now I've busted my butt to find out what's going on all across the state, and here's some, you know, real things that we can be working on. So it's one of those positions that you can kind of make your own. And I think it's about time we have somebody in there that's willing to put in the work.
Yeah, I'm with you. But, you know, here's the thing. You go and you look at, as you've pointed out, you've had the two different kinds. And I immediately names come popping into my mind to fill those titles. An activist kind of lieutenant governor. Have we had one of those before?
I don't know, but I'm willing to try. I mean, it's not nothing else has really worked before. We've got one in the office right now who's abusing house staff. And I look at that and go, that's my mom and dad. Those are the people that the staffs have abused are not only union members, but they are people who are the very backbone of our party. And that's not okay. So if what's happening right now is not working, I think it's about time we switch it up.
No, I'm right there with you. You know, and at the end of it, it comes down to, you know, extending that dignity and respect to the wait staff and to the workers and all of that. And I got to be honest with you, I was kind of stunned to hear the story about Lieutenant Governor Stack and his treatment of people, because I know Mike. I've had him on the program before. It was a complete shock to me.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly not representative of Democrats and not what we fight for every day. That's for sure.
So let's say you win. What's the first thing you pursue? I know one of the things that you had talked about, and I saw in a news report, is parole. Because I guess the lieutenant governor has a role in parole, you know, getting people out of jail and all of that. How would you change
the pardons board? Yeah, they chair the pardons board. And look, right now, the pardons process is out of reach for the vast majority of Pennsylvanians. It's far too expensive. You know, people that are coming from poverty, you know, positions like I've been in. And look, when I was 10, my dad was actually arrested for a marijuana charge and, you know, in jail for 4 months. And that charge actually affected the rest of his life. He was no longer able to really get a job. And the job that he did get obviously didn't pay a whole heck of a lot. And up until the day he died, he really, really struggled. And he could have tried to, you know, go through the pardons process, but you know, the attorney fees, the court fees, all of those costs, it becomes insurmountable for so many people. So I think that we really have to streamline the process and make it something that people can actually attain. I mean, it's one thing to go around and talk about it and say, hey, this is how you do it. It's another to actually be a reality for people.
Yeah. So are you a fan of the block the box movement?
Well, look, it's got to go deeper than that. One easy background check can still also withdraw somebody from employment. So, you know, I think personally it's got to go deeper than that.
It was always curious to me that you would do your time, you'd go through all of your whatever your sentence was, you'd pay your restitution, go through the, and then you're scarred for life with this. After you've already done your penance, you're now carrying this black mark for life. It's always, look, we don't want rapists and murderers and things, people like that to be able to.
Right.
But, you know, really, you know, a kid at 18 or 20 years old, you know, with a little bit of pot, I mean, come on, you're going to ruin somebody's life over the, it just seems, it
exactly.
Seems, it seems ridiculous at this point.
And when you look at it, you have to say, all right, the people that we elect, the people that we put into positions of power that have a voice at that table, unless they've actually lived out our values, unless they've actually lived a real life and had to experience these things, they're not going to have the first understanding of what it means. And so it's not something they're going to be working towards or champion, you know, being the champion of. So, you know, that it's all of those things that I think really make an impact on who we decide to elect and who becomes elected office in Pennsylvania.
Now, in such a crowded field, how do you distinguish yourself from the other, you know, the other 100 candidates out there?
Well, look, I'm the only person of color. And in fact, if and when I win, I would be the first person of color ever elected to executive office in Pennsylvania's history. I'm the only millennial. I'm 35 years old. And as far as I know, I'm the only combat veteran and would be the first combat veteran ever elected to office in the executive office as well. So, I mean, I look at the life that I've led, and it's very different than a lot of the folks who are in this race who have lived a life of privilege, you know, who come from wealth. And it's an entirely different perspective. And so as I go out there, I talk about things like race. I talk about my time working with my union. I talk about what it meant to be a young mom and, you know, working my butt off to get a college education and using part of my GI Bill, but also having to take out student loans and what that means for me to have to now pay them back, right? All of those things really separate me from the rest of the candidates in this race.
Now, what do you hear from people when you tell those stories? What kind of response do you get back? Because like you said, you're a young woman, you know, just 35, and the life you've led is, you know, full of experience and full of things. What kind of responses are you getting from people?
You know, people are excited. They think it's about time that we have this new generation of leadership that's lived a real life and that understands what everyday people go through, because that's who I am. And the response has been really, really great. They want to get on board. In fact, just the other day, a retired Army colonel ran out to my car with me as I was leaving an event. He's like, Ariana, I'm on board. Let me give you gas money. And you're so full of fire and a little bit of vinegar, and I just love it. So, I mean, like, I think that they recognize the authenticity that I bring to the table.
Nice. And now you bring up the issue of gas money. You know, campaigns about time and about money. You know, obviously raising money is a huge part of this, and the part of the game that has kept me from wanting to run for anything, because I hate the idea of begging for money. It just seems like it's the only thing that goes on. How can people help you?
Get online, joinariana.com. You can donate time as well. I mean, I think that knocking on doors and talking to your neighbors is just as valuable. And, you know, look, people like you and I who come from poverty have the hardest time asking for money because we feel like we've already been given so much. And it couldn't be more true for myself. But I think that also we need to continue to have voices like yours on air. And if people want to get involved, I say they need to make a donation to you, because if it weren't for people like you doing this, then people like me wouldn't be able to get our message out there. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, Ariana, and I wish you nothing but the best. And as you continue down this path, we'd love to have you back again and share your experiences and share some of the stories that you're picking up along the way.
Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate it.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Ariana. Ariana Berenger. And we'll get a link at the ricksmithshow.com of how you can check out her website. Look, I love the fact that this is such a big race, and there are so many varied voices in it, and I think she's terrific. Let's take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. 1-888-520-RICK. 1-888-520-7425. This is the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Controversial, thought-provoking, opinionated. Rick Smith.